The clerk, please call the roll.
Jay.
Here.
Brandy.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
Eric.
Excused.
Here.
Gary's here by phone. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Jeff.
Here.
Kurt.
Here.
Nancy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, it's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, that brings us to item three on tonight's agenda, approval of minutes. And there's four different meeting minutes we are seeking approval for. If there's no amendments to those, I'd entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes from November 20th, assembly meeting, November 29th, pool lighting bid appeal decision meeting minutes, and December 4th, assembly meeting minutes, December 18th, assembly meeting minutes. I'd entertain a motion to approve all four of them.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Wallhuter to approve the meeting minutes from those four different meetings. So, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those aye. Meeting minutes have been approved. Now we're on to item four, and that's amendment and approval of this evening's meeting agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's meeting agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion been made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Morrell. And if there's no amendments, we'll vote to approve the meeting agenda as presented. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, that brings us to public hearings. One public hearing this evening, and that's a public hearing on ordinance 2018-03. And this is an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone lot 10. There's quite a list of them. It's on North Nordic Drive from open space recreational to single family residential. Is there anybody here this evening that wants to participate in this public hearing? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Bid awards. There's one item under bid awards this evening, and that's swimming pool lighting replacement project. Directors Hagerman and Thornburg are recommending award of the swimming pool lighting replacement project to Sitka Electric Incorporated for an amount not to exceed $91,400. I'll entertain a motion to approve that expenditure. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Wallhuter. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When we were going over this, I guess when it was appealed, the question was whether this proposal with Sitka Electric was going to meet the lighting requirements that the bid was asking for. And I just want to know, for my own sake, I know it says here, but for the folks at home, this meets all the standards that we were hoping for it to meet.
Deandra, can you answer that?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Yeah, I noticed there is a little bit, it's a little bit more expensive than what we were talking about, by $2,000 roughly, but they're adding more lights and no extra cost for the fixtures and just pay for their labor. So I think it's, I'll be voting in favor of this. Any more discussion? Member Stanton Gregor.
Yeah, I'll also be voting for this, and just something for the folks listening at home. The overall budget for this work was $120,000, so technically we're coming in under that. Some money is being saved in that regard.
Any other discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Eric?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, the bid award for the swimming pool lighting replacement project passes unanimously. That will be awarded to Sitka Electric. And now it's time for visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience? How many people are going to want to speak tonight? Okay, I see seven. So I think we'll limit it to 3 minutes because we have a very busy agenda tonight. So who would like to speak first? Okay. Please step to the podium and state your name and who you represent. Debbie, can you do you have a way to time this? Or? Okay. Thank you,
Thank you, Steve.
Go ahead. We're not going to be too, we need to keep some time constraints. So.
My name is Joan Keltzer, and I'm representing myself. I live on Kuprinoff, and I'd like to speak to Resolution 2018-01. And this town was built on fishing, and you could argue the entire region was built on fishing. And I could successfully argue that commercial fishing is the most important industry in the state. But it seems like Southeast Conference and our delegation often forget this. This resolution is basically an anti-commercial fishing resolution. The roadless areas in the Tongass are the home of critical riparian habitat for salmon production. Probably the biggest threat to this borough is changing ocean conditions, ocean acidification, and the blob. The old growth stands in the Tongass are rated amongst the world's best for carbon sequestration. So cutting down a bunch of fisheries habitat will deliver the double whammy blow of also adding to ocean acidification. If you want to instruct our lobbyists to do something for crabbers and divers, tell them to work to keep the forest standing to slow down ocean acidification. When the culverts from logging roads were surveyed about a decade ago, an astounding 2,600 or so were blocking fish passage. That problem has not been fully dealt with. Not by a long shot. Ironically, there's always money to subsidize building more road and extracting more timber, but there's never an adequate budget to repair the damage and restore the fisheries habitat. In a time of projected poor salmon returns, it makes no sense whatsoever to degrade the spawning habitat. The only ecosystems that have a chance of surviving climate change are the intact ones. Being as so, much of the Tongass has been fragmented already, and it only increases the importance of our roadless areas. Only resilient ecosystems can hold up in major weather events. Where hillsides have been cut, high winds and excessively wet weather will continue to cause huge blowdowns and mudslides. This resolution is also anti-subsistence. Mitkoff Island is a good example of a place with plenty of roads, but not many deer. The deer populations on POW are crashing thanks to thousands of miles of logging roads and fragmented habitat. The most reliable places to hunt are not roaded. This resolution is also anti-tourism. Nobody comes up here to see chewed up landscapes. They come up here to see the wild places, view old growth dependent wildlife, and to catch a wild fish. Every logged acre is an acre taken from the sustainable visitor industry. Finally, it's everybody's knee-jerk reaction to, quote, support the timber industry, but stop and think about what this timber industry in Southeast really is. Do you really support round log exports? Do you really support an industry that destroys fisheries habitats, subsistence, and erodes tourism, but employs less than 1% of the region's population? 99% of us are forest-dependent. But this is never reflected in Southeast Conference's positions or supported by our delegation. I hope this council will stand up for fishing, subsistence, and tourism and vote this resolution down.
Can you wrap it up, please?
Yes. We could deed every single stand of old growth over to the round log exporters, and it still would never be enough. They have no interest in ever switching to young growth. The roadless areas of the Tongass are the gift we leave to our children and our children's children. Please don't vote to rob the future. This resolution is selfish and short-sighted. Thank you.
Thank you. Who would like to speak next? Okay. Please come to the podium, state your name, who you represent. I'll try to get the timer before the alarm goes off. That's kind of rude, but I'll raise my hand, and if you'll try to cut it off shortly after I get your attention, I'd appreciate it.
First, I want to protest against a short notice of this resolution. I heard about it this morning, laying in bed listening to radio, and I thought, why didn't something of this importance, like it's some kind of yah, you-hoo thing, it's ridiculous that it's treated in this fashion. This is literally cutting the nose off our faces.
Can you get on with your testimony, please?
I'd love to.
Thank you.
Cutting the nose off our face to spite someone else. We're in a global problem here, and what Roadless does is, it's not just us. It's all over the world. Didn't you listen to the news today? 4 degrees highest, the highest rise in temperature, the guy said, ever, on Alaska News Nightly tonight. This gentleman, Edward O. Wilson, 85-year-old biologist, he's pretty worried about the future of the world we're leaving to our children. He says, for the first time in history, a conviction has developed among those who can actually think more than a decade ahead that we are playing a global endgame. Humanity's grasp on the planet is not strong. It is growing weaker. Our population is too large for safety and comfort. Fresh water is growing short. The atmosphere and the seas are increasingly polluted as a result of what has transpired on the land. The climate is changing in ways unfavorable to life, except for microbes, jellyfish, and fungi. For species, it is already fatal. Because the problems created by humanity are global and progressive, because the prospect of a point of no return is fast approaching, these problems can't be solved piecemeal. There is just so much water left for fracking, so much rainforest cover available for soybeans, palm oil, or clear cutting, so much room left in the atmosphere to store excess carbon. Meanwhile, we thrash about, appallingly led, with no particular goal in mind other than economic growth, unfettered consumption, good health, and personal happiness. The impact on the rest of the biosphere is everywhere negative, and the environment is becoming unstable and less pleasant, and our long-term futures less certain. You know, I love passing the drugstore and seeing what new babies been born. Quite often there's a beautiful picture of an innocent, hopeful face seeing that there's hoping there's some place in this world for them. These babies that are born and coming back to this town, they have a very good chance of living to the year 2100. Our terms on this earth will be long over by the time these babies' lives come into full fruition. We are really... This is a thoughtless, short-sighted, and a deliberately harmful action to pass this resolution. I really would urge the council not to take this measure to please our misguided senator in Washington, D.C. The opening of ANWR itself is another indication.
Your 3 minutes, please.
We don't need more oil and carbon in the atmosphere. And we don't need to continue doing to the earth what we've been doing to it.
Can you please wrap up your testimony, please?
And by not passing this resolution, that would be a good first step for this local body. Thank you very much.
Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? I know there is views related to the items on today's agenda. Steve? Please state your name and who you represent.
Yeah, my name's Steve Burrell, Resolution 2018-01. All I hear is, with the roadless rule, is pretty much logging. And the infrastructure in logging in Southeast Alaska is gone and has been gone for quite some time. There's a little mill in Craig, and they are on the radio every other year about how they can't even get enough wood to run. So that's not, so to me, logging is not even in the picture anymore. But what bothers me is the, for instance, the ferry system. We all know what's happening with it. We can't even get from Petersburg to Prince Rupert. We have to take a ferry from Petersburg to Seattle for about $4,000 round trip if you have a full-size vehicle. No one even mentions anything about what the cost of living here in Petersburg is just from the freight alone. Go up and buy a gallon of milk. That should tell you right there. We need to be able to build roads in Southeast Alaska. The Bradfield Canal Road, no one's looked at that in years. To be able to get in and out of the middle of Southeast. When the ferry system goes down, which it could, we have no way in and out of here unless you go on the barge. Put your rig on the barge. So I want you to support, for the roadless rule. I mean, we need to be able to build roads here. We're not going to save the world here in Southeast. I mean, that's what I just heard here. We're going to save, if you don't do this, the world's coming to an end. That's not the case. We need to take care of us that live here and make it affordable to live here. Because it's getting to be where it's not. You're already going to try to take the tax away from the old folks and charge them for that. But nobody thinks about going after maybe getting another way to get freight in and out of Southeast Alaska, get fresh fish out of Petersburg, off the Prince of Wales Island. So these are some other things that we should be looking at too. So anyways, that's all I got to say about it. And thank I you. Think we need to be able to have a road.
Okay, who would like to testify next? Dave, you had your hand up, you wanna?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. My name is David Beebe. I'm representing myself, and I'm a 30-plus year resident and commercial fisherman of Petersburg and Kuprinov. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the pack, but fortunately, I figured out pretty quickly. I couldn't survive as a fisherman and a small boat owner, and that unless I understood that no one was going to bail me out when systems I depended on stopped working. Or the systems that I depended on to stay afloat stopped working. I found out the expensive way, that I couldn't survive by luck, and I couldn't survive as a small businessman by throwing money at the effects of a problem instead of understanding what caused them. I'm asking you to apply the same problem-solving strategy here as it relates to Resolution 2018-01. This resolution is based upon a failed economic strategy that depends upon and puts our fates at the mercy of the market. This plan, according to the state legislature's wisdom, violated all of the basic fiduciary obligations and responsibilities to the execution of the social contract. When we find ourselves with a failed economic policy, we need to understand that politics, like democracy, can't be reduced to a vote between two wolves and a lamb as to what they're going to have for supper. And that's precisely what is going on with religious responsibility to the social contract. If we don't abide by this notion of we are expecting our government to solve its economic problems, we cannot expect those problems to be solved by using the same economic plan that got us into this mess. It's up to us to come up with alternative notions I'm reminded, after having been present at the Alaska Municipal League, Kathy Wasserman being so angry after having heard that the state legislature had put all of the municipalities out on a limb and were busy cutting that limb off the trunk. And it was very clear that they expected to do nothing more than shift the costs to municipalities and expect them to somehow come up with an answer to the problem that they created themselves. So please, keep in mind that a resolution that is generated out of the Southeast Conference has impacts that must be involving alternatives and not the same problems. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Beebe. Does anybody else in the room want to testify under visitors' views related to items on the agenda? Okay, you'll be next, Scambrose.
I'm Chelsea Tremblay. I'm here representing myself, and I didn't really have anything prepared. I didn't really know this was going on, but I'm here to talk about the roadless rule and hope that we don't support this resolution asking for it to be ended. As someone who is majorly employed through the tourism industry and participates in fishing as a person who needs affordable access to protein, I don't see how this is a policy that would make sense for 50, 100, 200 years from now in Southeast Alaska. What the Southeast Conference should be focusing on is how to make the ferries run better and faster and more affordable for all Southeast residents. I don't see how bringing more roads to an archipelago make a lot of sense. So I hope you vote with the future in mind and the long-term vision for Southeast, which includes tourism and keeping a healthy fisheries in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Who would like to testify next? Rose, you had your hand up.
Hello, my name is Roseanne Dunham. I'm not here to talk about the roadless ordinance. I want to talk about the proposed ordinance for the senior citizen exemption, the senior citizen fee. First, I have to say I'm not a senior citizen yet. I might look like one, but I'm not. And so I'm not exempt from paying sales tax. So I just have an opinion on what I read in the paper and then the ordinance that's proposed. So the issue is a $60 processing, issuing, and monitoring cost, you're going to get your cost back. That's like $120 for a family of two, $60 per person. And I want to know where you came up with that number, because I don't think in the three business days since I read about this in the paper that you've had an actual opportunity to do a cost analysis on what it really does cost the city to take care of these senior exemption cards. What do you have, 500, 800? I mean, I have no idea. But it doesn't sound like a big enough deal if you are trying to save money and recoup costs to do this. So the borough creates its own costs anyway. I mean, you're the ones that say, hey, we have to have a new card every year. We're going to monitor these people. We got to issue this stuff. Well, I have to tell you, I collect sales tax. I do a lot of monitoring for the city already. And why do you have to send them out every year? It's not like people are getting younger every year, folks. You know, and so I'm just saying, let's just think about the reality of this. If it's 500 people, we're talking $30,000. What is that? One person's annual wage? I don't want to get nasty, but I bet you paid five times that to take the corner off a building that's been sitting there for 75 years. My other question is, where did you get the $20,000 income amount for the limit? Because the Alaska, let me get the right word, the Alaska poverty level for two people is higher than $20,000. So it just doesn't make any sense. And how are you going to prove what their income is? If somebody is only making $20,000 for a household, they aren't filing federal income tax, people. They don't need to. So I guess if we are concerned about the cost of this, and we think that we can recoup it by charging people $60 a year, and that those costs are, and I'm going to quote the paper here. I know. Yeah. I'm quoting the paper here. That we can be bankrupting the city. If that's a fact, we need to vote no on this and look at a totally different direction for saving money and getting an income stream into the city. Thanks.
Thank you, Rose. Anybody else in the audience that would like to express their views related to items on this evening's agenda? Mark?
Well, my name is Marge Oinas, and it's very difficult for me to hear what anybody is saying sitting in the audience. I don't know if there's a way to turn things up, but I can't hear. I did hear a little bit of Rose's, and I thought, well, after what she said, I don't have to say anything. But I'm here as an elderly person. I've been here for 50 years accumulated, so I fit in the papers. If anyone has been here 50 years, they might fit to have a tax exemption as a retired person. I make $14,400 a year with Social Security. That's what I live on. And if I didn't own the home that I live in because my folks gave it to me, it'd be very hard to make it on... What is it, $1,400 a month. I don't know how anybody could do it. I don't have to pay rent. And so for me, it's like I have it made in the shade. So I'm very grateful for the income tax exemption that I have from the city. I could afford to pay $50 a year to keep that, but I'd rather not have to. I know that this started in, 1980, I think Glow said in the paper, and I was wondering why it was started in the first place. Does anybody know?
I don't have an answer to that question.
I believe it was to encourage low-income retirees to stay here instead of moving somewhere.
Oh, encourage the people to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And was it decided by the council? We don't know.
I think it was put in place by a council. It wasn't a
vote. It wasn't voted on.
To take
on.
It away, it has to go to a vote of the public. It has to be on the ballot.
Oh, I
and
see.
Marge, I think if this ordinance, if it passes, this is the first reading, there is a line in here, a part in the ordinance that says if you make under $20,000, you don't have to pay for the card fee.
Right.
So
right. So
that you would be excluded if.
I think I just read on the back of something that how you're going to check to make sure that this is really happening. Is somebody going to, do the police have to do something? How are you going to know if it's if we're honest people or not.
May I answer that for you, Marge?
Yeah.
You would be signing an affidavit attesting that you make under that. It's more or less an honor system of that regard, saying that you swear that that is what your income is less than. Just you saying so, more or less, and signing. Am I getting that right, Jody? Thank you.
It seems to me that if we're going to have a policy, that you should have a way of, like, if I have to come in and show you that my Social Security income is $1,400, I think that's a fair way to do it. But just to assume that we're all honest, I don't know that we, you know, I think you do have to cover that. I hope that you don't charge anything, but if you do, I can afford 50.
Okay, well, it doesn't sound like you'd have to pay. Thank you for your testimony, Marge. Anybody else in the audience with views related to items on tonight's agenda? Ole?
My name is David Whitethorn. I'm a business owner in town. Born, raised here, stayed here. I've been here for 68 years. I hope you guys support this roadless thing and send a resolution back there. Like Mr. Burrell says, logging is history in this community, and it is on Prince of Wales. But mining isn't, and neither is hydropower. And we're looking for hydropower. And in order to build roads into someplace with the roadless plan, you may not build road into hydropower. And you may not be able to build roads to a grid system to bring hydropower out to the grid system. So I would hope that you guys would support this and, you know, get rid of the roadless plan and go back to putting some roads in that we do need for some of this stuff. And the other subject is, like Marge is saying, you know, some of these older people that can't afford to pay sales tax. And I would be willing to give you my cards back if you guys wanted to take a 6% cut across the entire board for our city borough. And so that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ole. Any other visitors with views related to items on today's agenda? Okay. Thanks, everybody, for your testimonies.
Mr. Mayor.
That's right. Sorry.
All right.
I just pulled it out so I could follow.
All right. No problem.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have a letter from Rebecca Knight. Rebecca Knight's statement of opposition to Petersburg Borough Resolution 2018-1 regarding the roadless rule exemption to Alaska National Forests. Alaska's national forests should not be exempt from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's roadless rule, first issued in 2001. Local, regional, statewide, and national debate has been ongoing during the past 16 years, yet the rule has survived countless challenges in the courts. Quote, in 2011, a federal court tossed the Tongass exemption. Later, an appeals court reversed the decision. Then, a full en banc panel of that appeals court reversed it again. The Tongass ultimately had to abide by the roadless rule. Last fall, the district court judge held that line, saying the rule stands and the USDA did not violate any laws in crafting it. End quote. That was quoted from the Alaska Dispatch News. Moreover, the rule has survived the court of public opinion by the American people who have repeatedly spoken in overwhelming support of it. It is inconceivable that your body would advise that the rule be abandoned with a quickly passed resolution tonight, along with the historic legal rulings and the sentiment of the American people. It is a case of beating a dead horse over and over and is a monumental waste of time and a waste of our meager state coffers. In the glaring absence of an in-depth debate tonight, I request that you consider the attached 2009 letter in support of the roadless rule by a group of renowned scientists. It distills the plethora of scientific evidence that demonstrates that the rule is in the best interests of all Americans and the world. Please reject Petersburg Borough Resolution 2018-1. Sincerely, Rebecca Knight.
Thank you, Debbie. So is there anybody that would like to speak with on views related to tonight's agenda? I think that was the last comment. Is there anybody that would like to speak on views unrelated to any of the items on tonight's agenda, anything that we're not proposed to talk about tonight? Seeing none.
Mr. Mayor? So, Karen, did you want to talk?
You know, it'd be better if you did it now, if you could do it now, please. Yeah, that could be quite a while. And this is the part of the meeting where a person should testify to or should speak. Please, if you do it now, it makes it cleaner for me anyway. Thanks, Jeff, for recognizing Karen. I figured that's why you were here. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Mountain View Manor in the past, their food service program, requested funds from the city for the fiscal year from June until the next June. And last year, I was out of town. I think we were supposed to be requesting in March. Was that when you were doing the budget work?
I can't recall.
Okay. But I know I was out of town, and Sammy Parker is our accountant, and she has asked for it, requested in the past, and she didn't think we would need it. She knows money is tight. She didn't think we need it. But and we actually were doing really pretty well until the last few months. November, of course, with people having the flu and stuff, November, December, the income has been down more. That's more like the reflection of the numbers that I had given in my letter to Mr. Giesbrecht. Before that, the numbers were up higher in the 30s and the 40s. So it's kind of a combination of food prices are getting high. We feel like we've done a fairly good job. The last half of 2017, spent $10,796 on food for those 6 months. It served 2,193 people. And so the meal cost per person was $4.92. And we request a $5 donation. Our grant money is based that way, that if people absolutely can't pay, we don't have to say, you can't eat. So if they put in a dollar or two, that's okay. So with the economy also being the way it is, we have not had the income from them that has been in the past. And I know that people feel guilty if they can't pay, but some people are taking advantage of it, of the program. And there's more people that should be taking advantage. So anyway, so we come to January, and we are running out of money from what we would have had before. We got less grant money also because our numbers were down. And so, you know, we used to do the assisted living also, and we had to separate from them because they had 17 people with special needs, and it's really hard to cook dinner for 40, 45 people when, and she goes like low salt for almost everybody, but when you get into this person can't get eat wheat, this one can't eat dairy, you know, you have a lot of problems. So trying to sort out 17 people was difficult. So that's another reason. We also had an unforeseen expense. The state required all nonprofits to have a yearly financial review. So it's not a total audit, it's a partial audit. And that costs us $2,100. So that was a cost that we had. So that's why we're asking $4,000 for to help us get through till our grant money comes in February.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Okay, is there anybody in the audience with views unrelated to items on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, excuse me, we'll move to the next thing on the agenda. Board, commission, and committee reports. We have a report from the Petersburg Medical Center. We have an update from Liz Woodyard.
Good evening. My name is Liz Woodyard. I'm the CEO at Petersburg Medical Center. Just wanted to give an update of what's been going on at the hospital. And our kitchen is finally done, and it looks really nice. And so please come over and look at it. And the dietary department is glad to be back in the hospital. And thanks to Ocean Beauty for letting us lease their kitchen during the last months. And the project came in on budget, so we're happy about that. I will be retiring at the end of June, and so we have a hiring committee to start the process for the next CEO, and they've gotten feedback from staff and some community members regarding challenges the hospital may be facing in the next few years, services the hospital should offer, and crucial qualities the next CEO needs in facing the challenges that lie ahead. The application period for the position will close at the end of January. One of our great physicians, Dr. Sargent, will be leaving at the beginning of March, so we are in the process for recruiting another family physician. Tara Burns, our new occupational therapist, hopes to start at the end of February. She's just waiting for her license. We're also recruiting for ultrasound, x-ray tech, CNAs, medical assistants, and RNs. And with the addition of Jim Roberts, who's here, thanks, Jim, as our newest board member, we now have a full hospital board, so that's pretty exciting news for us. Our next board meeting is January 25th at 5 p.m. The tentative date for the health fair will be April 14th. And the Hospital Foundation, if you're not aware of the Hospital Foundation, it is separate from the hospital. It's 501c3. We raise money through the foundation for various equipment needs and scholarships, and the Hospital Foundation awarded a scholarship to Caitlin DeRoss for continuing her education, so she'll be wound care certified. We're almost ready for the new DEXA scanner, which will be up in the x-ray department. We're hoping to start that new service in February. This unit is designed to measure bone density, which determines the risk for bone loss or osteoporosis. So that'll be a nice service that we'll be able to offer. Cash continues to be steady. We're holding our own. December, of course, was a high revenue month. As you remember, we had so many people with the flu. We had an 86% over budget in the inpatient department for December. So the staff was very busy with people coming in with the flu. Our investment income is up, and it pretty much covered the cost of the kitchen and interest, so that was good. And I think that's about all I'd like to talk about. Answer any questions if you have any.
Any questions from the assembly for Liz? Thank you, Liz, for your
report. Thanks for the opportunity to come.
Yeah. Okay, no items on the consent agenda this evening. Report of other officers, there are none. Brings us to the mayor's report. Pretty light report. Municipal Land Selection Committee, with Governor Walker's signature on Senate Bill 28, municipal land selections for Petersburg. Petersburg is now entitled to additional lands within our borough. The committee met last Friday, and I was talking to Liz today, and they will have at our next meeting a recommendation. They've narrowed it down the land they think we should select. So we will move forward from there. Senator Stedman, when he was here, recommended we, I don't know if you'd want to call it apply pressure, but keep on DNR, because they're not going to be the ones trying to, you know, they won't be driving the boat to transfer to Lance. We have to keep on them, and so hopefully that'll happen. I wanted to talk about the proposed land trade with Petro 49, I guess it's called now, and the Borough Harbor Department have entertained the idea of trading land for various reasons, one of which would be that the Harbor Department could utilize an old Petro building as a maintenance shop. And I'm requesting that the Harbor Board research the cost involved in the land trade. I've heard various numbers from the Harbor Department, and I've talked to a few of the staff in the finance. So I'd like them to get involved in that, give us the accurate numbers, the loss of property tax, loss of lease revenue. And another thing I'd like to, them to look into is the cost to make the building proposed for the maintenance shop usable to the standard, to what they're looking for. I know right now the building, if you look at it, you can't drive a vehicle into the building. It's got a loading dock, so I don't know if that would meet their needs. So if there's going to be any future costs associated with it, I'd like them to bring that to the assembly and make a recommendation. We need to reschedule the February 20th assembly meeting. I will be out of town on the 20th. We can still have it on the 20th if you guys want to have the meeting when I'm gone. That's fine with me. Talk to the clerk about it. February 16th, which is a Friday, could work, but I don't know if that works for other people, or February the 26th. There are regular meetings on February 5th and March 5th. So the 16th would actually put the timing more equal between meetings instead of having one meeting on the 26th and another one on the 5th a week later. So it's nice to have them staggered. Any suggestions from the assembly? Member Strand.
I would like to leave it on the 20th. We have a vice mayor, so, and maybe you could call in if there's something that you're concerned about.
Okay, Member Wallhuter.
I'm probably going to be out on the Tanner grounds on that date, on the 20th and the 16th, and I won't be in town on the 26th, so I'm out. That
doesn't matter.
Okay. I'm out.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have to consider four people present for a quorum.
I will call in if I can, though.
So, Member Mucci, are you going to be in town on the 20th?
Hard to say. Just schedule a meeting, and if I'm here, I'll do my best to be here.
If not, we'll cancel it.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay. Jay, Member Stan Greger, you'll be in town, do you think?
I'm just looking at the calendar here. Bear with me for a moment, Mr.
Sure,
Mayor.
Sure, we got lots of time.
Yes, we do. I'm fairly ambivalent. Either the 20th or the 26th would work fine for me. The 16th, no good, but 20th or 26th, I don't have a preference.
Okay.
One works for me.
You'll be in town? Member, Eric, are you hearing this conversation?
Sure could. Yeah, the 16th is bad, but either the 20th or the 26th would work.
Okay, let's just leave it on the 20th and see what happens. Make it easy.
Okay,
one other thing on the mayor's report is our trip to Washington, D.C. The borough lobbyist, Brad Gilman, has a meeting set up for myself and the manager to visit with the Coast Guard, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the State Department, Office of Canadian Affairs about trans river boundary issues, the Alaska Governor's Office. That's the first day, and then Senator Murkowski, Sullivan, and Congressman Young. That's so far, and we have a day in case anything else comes up. And that's it. So, Steve, manager's report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Power and Light Superintendent search team, we completed reviewing the candidates that we had for the position and have decided to re-advertise for the position. All internal and external applicants have been notified. Likely be about 45 days before we receive additional applicants and review their qualifications. So that's where we stand at the moment. I held the first of three community meetings to discuss ways in which the borough can decrease costs or increase revenue. We had about 12 to 14 people that attended the meeting, and that's excluding department heads. And the borough received approximately 50 comments, many of them coming in through email. So our next scheduled meeting there is on this subject is January 18th, so this week, from 4 to 6 here in the assembly chambers. When we finish up the entire process after the third meeting, which is scheduled for January 27th, I will consolidate all the comments received along with any emailed comments and then prepare a basic summary of the issues for the assembly, and then we can so they can decide how we want to go from there. If you want to prioritize a few or look through them. The next meetings are January 18th from 4 to 6. That's this week. And then the final meeting on January 27th from 11 to 1. That's a Saturday. Tried to split them up and put them on different times and dates. So hopefully gives everybody a chance to come. I wanted to say thanks to Carl and Liz. The borough provided background and rough cost estimates for the Petersburg Access Road project. This has been provided to our D.C. lobbyist for inclusion in the trip memo under the infrastructure category. With mixed emotions, I want to announce the pending retirement of our chief of police, Kelly Swihart, and our deputy clerk, Mindy Swihart. His family and they will be leaving Petersburg after June 30th of this year for the next stage of their lives closer to family in Alabama. We will miss Kelly, Mindy, Anna Morgan, Sam, and the boys, but we know how important being close to their family is to them. Please take the time to thank Mindy and Kelly for their exemplary service to our community and wish them well in the future. With the retirement of Chief Swihart, the borough will be starting a search for our next chief of police. I am proposing a search limited to Alaskan-based candidates with current Alaska police certification. Kelly will be helping us identify qualified candidates, and we hope to get them in place prior to Kelly departing this summer. Debbie, Mindy, and I will be reviewing the deputy clerk's job description as part of our process to make sure the job description matches up with our current needs in the borough. And to be honest with you, it's kind of going back and forth a little bit. We're going to look at, we have some needs in the HR area. At the same time, that gets really expensive to hit all of those hot button items that we would need. So we're going to have that conversation to make sure we get the job description correct as far as what we need internally and what we can afford, and then get that in place before we start recruiting. Again, as you heard me mention, salary is a concern. If we go too hard and heavy on HR experience, the salary tends to go up pretty quick, and we don't have that budgeted. So, with three department head positions open, the electric superintendent, the police chief, and the deputy clerk, Debbie and I will need to understand if the assembly will want an active role in the recruitment process like we have done with the electrical superintendent. We would suggest the assembly consider discussing this at a future meeting so staff can lay out the process that meets with your approval. We can do it any number of ways. I just kind of need to know how you want to do it. And that's it, unless you have questions.
Any questions of the manager? Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I had on the agenda for later on tonight talking about the Public Safety Advisory Board. And when I put this on the agenda a couple weeks ago, my intent was kind of to get a discussion going about whether or not we wanted to disband the Public Safety Advisory Board. They hadn't met since August in 2015. And this might be a good opportunity for the Public Safety Advisory Board to help Steve go through the application process or the recruitment process, whatever you want to call it. Many years ago when I was on the Parks and Recreation Board, we handled things similar to that. We helped the department head or whoever, the city manager. And I think it would be a real good thing for the Public Safety Advisory Board, but we can certainly talk about that later.
Okay. And we will add this as a discussion item. Maybe can we put it on the next agenda to get the
It would be helpful if there's room on the agenda for it. The earlier we know, the easier it is for us to adjust and put something in place.
Well, maybe it should be some place where the assembly could take action on it than other than a discussion item. So that would be better. Any other questions of the manager? Okay, that moves us on to unfinished business. And there's one ordinance for second reading. That's ordinance 2018-03. That's an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough from open space recreational to single family residential. And that lot is on North Nordic before you go around Prowlery Point, right by the Ray Olson's house. I could read the whole paragraph and a half with a lot description, but I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second reading.
So move.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Morrell to adopt Ordinance 2018-03 in its second reading. Is there any discussion by the Assembly? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 2018-03 passes unanimously in its second reading. The next item under unfinished business is item 18-012, Fiscal Year 2019 Capital Projects List. Senator Stebbin recently visited Petersburg and requested the borough add non-capital priorities related to state funding on the 2019 Capital Projects List. That was approved by the Assembly at the January 2nd, 2018 meeting. Manager Giesbrick has added six non-capital issues for the Assembly to approve. They're all the way from revenue sharing to school maintenance bonds, and it makes sense to me. So we need a motion to approve this to be added to our capital project list to send to the state. I'll entertain that motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion was made by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Strand to approve the expansion, I guess you'd call it, of the 2019 capital projects list. Any discussion? Clerk call the roll.
Brandy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve, we could add that to the list.